There's something very strange about the Gaza Strip. Although it is by the seaside, you don't really feel it when you cross into Gaza from Israel. Probably because it's densely populated and it's everything is so confined and tight and it's the sea really is one of the few places, probably the only place, where Gazans can come and feel a sense of open space, a sense of freedom, away from all the confinement they feel, the closure of the borders, the overcrowdedness of their daily lives, their homes. And I'm here standing at the beach in Gaza, and I can see few fishing boats on the horizon, and I can feel the wind coming onto me from the sea. And with me is a group of young Palestinians who are trying to break free from the restrictions and the controls they feel over their lives in Gaza. They call themselves the Palestinian Rappers.
My name is Ayman Mghamis. I'm 22 years old. I study English, French literature.
My name is Mu'taz Zahwehi. 23 years old, and I'm studying English literature.
Right. So can we ask you to perform for us one of your, a short rap, or can I call it a song? I don't know. I'm old-fashioned. Everything is a song for me.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
هي تتحدى ما تتحدى راح اضلني طول المدى ماسك ماكو رد العيدة راح يضلوا صوتي صدى ينادي وين الرضا راح يضلوا زي الهدى يهدي الناس يعبر يضلوا دايما يهدر يضلوا طول الليل حين درجيك الويل حبس مع كلمة.
Oh, it's very nice, really nice. But this is a political nationalist song. Can you tell me about your song?
It's talking about challenge between the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. We are trying to get our right to be civilized, and we will continue our struggle in a peaceful way. Yeah.
I understand you had problems with Hamas. Why is that?
You know, Hamas is a very religious movement. They had their own ideas, their own thoughts. They think that we are acting like Americans, and we do like Americans, so it's forbidden for them. So we don't want to get in trouble.
And how are you going to continue rapping, or you're intimidated, you can't go on?
We're going to continue. We won't stop. We have a message, and we will send it to all over the world.
كلامنا أو سكوتنا فكرك مين حيعبر أكتر كلامنا مش رح يوقف باب الراب نسى يتسكر كل رابر عنده غنية وهالغنية رح تتمخطر.
The young rappers say they won't be silenced, but does anybody care? That is one of the Gazans' worst fears. They feel that they are under siege and that the world may be forgetting them. In this program for the BBC, I want to find out how the people here have been coping since Gaza's borders were effectively closed after Hamas took control of the territory nearly 6 months ago. Al-Wafa Hospital is in a quiet corner in the Gaza Strip. The green multi-story building is exceptionally tidy and clean for a city that has been through so much. Dr. Khamis Al-Issi is in charge of medical rehabilitation and is one of Gaza's most renowned physicians.
As you can see, now we are getting into the male department, where we have 32 beds.
على صوتك.
أنا سالم.
كيف صحتك اللي؟
الحمد لله. كل ماشي طريق.
He was walking in the pavement, and suddenly a car shifted to swing to his side and hit him very strongly. So he had a traumatic brain injury.
What's the most common or typical condition that you get here in Gaza?
Well, most of the conditions we've seen in the last 5 years were spinal cord injuries, head injuries, and multi-organ damage due to Israeli aggression with these kind of weapons, explosive bullets.
Do you have to refer patients sometimes to an Israeli hospital?
Yes, but we don't refer them directly from our hospital. We have to send them back to the Ministry of Health, and they refer them to Israel.
So now it's probably even more difficult to refer patients.
Exactly. Now it's not difficult. It's impossible. Just yesterday, the number 12th patient died due to waiting for his referral.
And they were referred to what? Hospitals?
They were referred to Israeli hospitals, to Egyptian hospitals, to hospitals abroad. But all borders are closed.
And that has been going on since June or earlier?
No, it has been going on since the last 2 or 3 months. So now...
Since Hamas took over, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And since then, they can only do some emergency operations. In our case, we don't have certain medications for severe pain like Tramal, like Bithidine, like morphine derivatives and these things, which is an everyday drug in every place in the world. Assalamu alaikum.
كيف حالك؟
الحمد لله.
كيف صحتك هالقيت؟
بخير.
ايش بتسوي هالقيت؟
والله هالقيت حال بدي انام يعني.
Do you have family?
Yeah.
How many children?
I have two kids, two boys and two girls. One of my boys died because we can't find a proper referral for him. We don't have the capabilities of doing the operation here. But anyway, we settled to take the risk and do the operation here. He did well after the operation, but he suddenly died afterwards.
هي تتحدى ما تتحدى راح اضلني طول المدى مسك ما كون رد الاداره.
The Israelis closed the border immediately after Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip. Israel says it will not deal with an organization that it regards as a terrorist one. But the effects of that closure are being felt in places like this, the souk in the Jabalia refugee camp. قولي لي يا حجة ايه اللي مش لاقياه انت في السوق؟
ملابس شتوية للبيبي للأطفال من البرد بكرة جاي علينا 40 سقعة وشتاء. فيش ملابس للبيبي هات للأطفال العجائز المرضى.
Winter clothes for children and old people aren't available in the market.
مشاكل التانية مواد غذائية حليب ما فيش.
She says there's no milk.
حليب للأطفال.
There's no milk for children.
رز مطحول للأطفال ما فيش. طحين غالي عنا.
Flour is very expensive.
ومع هالغلاء كمان ما فيش شي money مصاري.
On top of all that, she says they have no money. There's no work. So the border closure. So بس ده حصل مع
اليهود والعرب عنده فينا وإحنا حاطين هان تحت الطرفين ضحية بالروح.
She says she blames it both on Arabs and Jews because of the closure of the border. But let me ask you, this happened since Hamas took over.
حماس إيش دخلها بتدافع عنا حماس.
When she heard the word Hamas, she understood that I was going to ask her about. Well, this happened because Hamas took over. She said, "Don't blame anything at Hamas. Hamas is defending us. That's defending the Palestinians."
يهدي الناس يعبر يضلوا دايما يهدر يضلوا طول الليل حين يدروا يجيك الويل
This is an industrial state with lots of factories, warehouses. Many of them have had to close down and they all tell you it is because of the closure of the borders. They call it the siege here. But one of a handful of factories that have managed to keep going is this one. It's a soft drink factory and it's called Mecca Cola. And there is a rather interesting story of how it managed to survive despite all the hardships.
My name is Musa Siam. I am a production engineer. I am the plant manager here.
So where do you export or sell your product?
We sell our product mainly to Gaza Strip as well to West Bank.
And you're doing good business? It's doing well?
Yeah, nowadays, due to the siege, we are not doing, it's not good at all for us.
That is because of the closure of the borders?
Yeah, closure because they are not allowing, they only allowed food to come. Raw materials for factories and industries for running the factories and all this, we don't have.
So, give me examples of the raw materials that used to come, but they don't come in anymore.
CO2 is not coming anymore.
CO2, that is the
gas which we used for making soft drink. It's not coming anymore.
But the factory is still working. How did you manage to solve the problem of the CO2?
We got help from some technicians here and some scientist people who were able to give us the ideas how to reduce the CO2 and run our factory.
So you've actually managed to overcome the problem by producing that gas locally.
For the short run, it's okay, but for long time, it will not be solved, this problem, because the raw materials which we produce the CO2 from, it's already expired from the market. There is no more raw material.
Don't you think that the siege, as you call it, the siege, is doing something very good to you?
is forcing the Palestinians to be creative and be self-reliant. That's for some raw materials, but not for all. We have managed CO2 only. Other materials we cannot manage.
So you don't think that Palestinian creativity can help you this time? That's the limit to Palestinian creativity.
If there is no raw materials, we cannot do anything. You need, for creativity also, you need raw materials.
I could only spend 2 days in the Gaza Strip for security reasons, but I managed to catch up with Dr. El-Issi in a cafe in the center of town after he finished work. Dr. El-Issi trained abroad and has been offered many international positions, but he chose to come back to Gaza. And I wanted to find out how he manages to keep going here.
So you feel a very strong attachment to Gaza. This is your
You're not
one of those trying to run away from
no,
Gaza.
No. Actually, when you are saving the life of one man, and maybe when you help one man regain his ability to walk or teach him how to ambulate freely and independently, this is the biggest price we can aim for, actually.
But I mean, it still doesn't explain to me your attachment to Gaza, because you can be helping patients anywhere else in the world. What is
right.
it that is so special
right.
about your relationship
right.
to Gaza?
You're right. There are many things. One thing, this is the place where I grew up. The second thing, I'm the only specialist with this specialization in the whole of Gaza Strip. So if I leave, no one will be able to offer the kind of service that I'm offering.
I mean, what keeps you going? Does it happen that one day you wake up and say, "My God, I've had enough. I'd like to leave this place"?
Sometimes, I mean, when the evil mind works, and sometimes you have these evil thoughts. Oh, why? When I was abroad, I have a lot of my American friends with whom we go every day. We go outing. We watch movies. We go ice skating.
Yeah. Now you're
now,
trapped. You
we
can't
are
leave.
Trapped. All borders are closed, and you can't. I mean, you can't plan anything. The only misery that we're living. You don't know what will happen to you tomorrow. You feel that you are just like a ball floating over the waves of the sea.
I mean, your life is very difficult for everyone here, including yourself, of course. But then you had the very painful experience of losing your son, and you're a doctor.
Yeah.
How did you recover from that? How did you say, right, I mean, I'll carry on?
I think this made me more attached to my patient, because every time I see a little child, I wish that he will not go undergo in these sufferings like my son have or other patients have. When you sometimes listen to the suffering of mothers begging you to do something for the kid, begging you, really, take my life and give it to my child, because I want him to be able to see, to speak, to stand up again. Sometimes, involuntarily, your tears is going down and you can't control it.
هي تتحدى ما تتحدى راح اضلني طول المدى ماسك ماك ورد العيدة راح يضل.
We're on our way to Beit Hanun, the nearest town to the Israeli border. Not far from here, at least three Palestinians were said to have been killed overnight in clashes with Israeli soldiers. Israelis were retaliating to several rounds of mortars that Palestinian militants fired, aiming at the Eretz crossing point. This is a very usual occurrence in the border region here. And now we are in Beit Hanun, and you can see the scars of previous Israeli incursions everywhere, with houses knocked down, roads being torn up. The violence between Israel and the Palestinians permeates the lives of almost every single person in Beit Hanun. And more recently, as if that was not enough, the violence between Fatah and Hamas.
Hey. السلام عليكم.
السلام.
خير.
I've just walked into the office of Mayor Nazik Al-Kafana, the mayor of Beit Hanun. He is an elected mayor and he's a member of Hamas. He's currently seeing two residents who've come with their complaints to him, and I'll just wait till they finish so that I can ask him how does he cope with the problems of Beit Hanun.
I just wanted to find out from one of the gentlemen here who's come with his complaints to the mayor. Why is he here for? And he said these the Jews, as he put it, that's Israel, of course, destroyed his house and bulldozed the field. It was an olive and orange field. He says that the Israelis had bulldozed. حصل امتى ده؟
في 2004.
So I asked him when it happened. He said it was in the year 2004. And why do you think the mayor can help you? يعني أنت ممكن يعني دي مشكلة يعني زي الدكتور نازك هيساعدك في موضوع زي ده.
هو عشان هو رئيس بلدية والتعويضات بيجينا أنا بسمع عن طريق البلدية وأنا جيت
يعني
راجع.
يعني في برنامج تعويضات.
يمكن عندهم برنامج تعويضات أنا جيت راجع.
Well, he just come to find out. He says whether there is a program to compensate people who suffered as a result of Israeli incursions. رد الدكتور ريحك. Are you satisfied with the answer you got from Dr. Al-Kafana?
إن شاء الله ريحنا يعني نوعا ما.
He says, well, إن شاء الله, somewhat. شكرا. The gentleman that was here earlier complaining, hoping to get some compensation for his house and his fields, I mean, can you help him? How do you, as a municipality, raise funds? Where do you get money from?
Generally, a municipality's income comes from what it collects from its citizens. But because the people here have no money, we've turned to the outside world. We recently managed to twin our municipality with another in Turkey, and we got some money from them to keep us going for a little while.
So when people come here with various demands, whether jobs or their houses have been destroyed, how do you deal with this?
يعني الحقيقة احنا أصبحنا نيجي على البلدية ونروح مجرد دوام.
Well, we now come to the municipality just really to mark time. We come to show that we're still around. But when it comes to offering real services to the citizens, there's none of that whatsoever. We're trying, but it's really a very difficult situation. All we can do is clean the streets, try to ensure that people get water, and solve problems relating to sewage.
And do people get paid here in the municipality?
في مشكلة يعني عندنا الآن تقريبا عجز أربع شهور عن دفع رواتب.
None of our staff has been paid for the last 4 months, and that includes myself. There was an agreement with the finance ministry to contribute to the payment of salaries, but since the breakdown between Gaza and the West Bank, it's not been possible to transfer any money to us. So we're now waiting for God's mercy.
ننتظر رحمة الله.
Well, there's clearly very little the local authorities here in Beit Hanun can do. They can't even pay out salaries to staff. So helping the destitute, and there are many of them here, is left to relief agencies. I've now come to one of the small Palestinian charities operating here.
My name is Ibtisam Omran Zanin. I am a chairman of Al-Ata Benevolent Association in Beit Hanun. We are now in Al-Khansa Kindergarten. The kids here, it's about 75 or 70 children.
So they just come before the food is being handed
some
out?
Some of them.
Some of them. Right, this is very interesting. Can I speak to the teacher? Right. I noticed that the teacher is actually, what she's teaching the children are very nationalistic songs about them being Palestinians ready to die for their homeland. And the question is that really adequate for kids?
لا هم أكيد طبعا لأنه يتعرفوا بقضيتهم ووطنهم ويعرفوا موطنهم.
But she says no, it's quite important that kids at this as early as possible to know that they're under occupation, and you know, so that you implant this in their minds when they grow up, they know what it means to fight and to do jihad and to struggle. Well, I'm a bit surprised because you can't help feeling sorry for the children, as if it is not enough to go through the experience of war, but they're also taught to grow up to believe that this is going to be the future, to continue fighting. Within the Palestinian context, that is not very unusual. You know, it's a matter of life and death for them. So parents and schools believe that is necessary to teach the children. This is an existential question for them. But, I mean, that's something that the Israelis don't like, of course. They believe that children in Palestinian society are being indoctrinated at a very early age to hate them and to fight them. But this strikes at the heart of the problem, really. I'm now about to leave the Gaza Strip and I've come to the border with Israel, but the border is closed. There have been clashes overnight between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian militants. And the Israelis say the border will remain closed because they're looking for an explosive device. And I can see an Israeli tank and a bulldozer at work, not far from where I'm standing here now. And there's no sign at the moment as to when they will reopen the border for people to cross again. After nearly 4 hours of waiting, the border reopened, and I finally crossed to Israel in the dark, in the middle of a sandstorm. I left Gaza after getting a taste of what it is like to be trapped behind a closed border, albeit briefly. But nearly all the Palestinians I left behind cannot leave, and they blame most of their hardships almost exclusively on the border closure. I think the picture is now clearer for me, despite the enormous difficulties. Gaza is somehow still functioning. The people continue to rely on handouts from aid agencies, and Hamas has managed to bring a measure of law and order to the territory. Yet it could get even worse. The Israelis are planning to reduce power supplies in response to the continuous firing on Israeli border towns by Palestinian militants. What stays with me are the words of Dr. Al-Issi. The worst thing about life in Gaza, he said, is not knowing what will happen tomorrow.